This year in London, there was a one-of-a-kind birthday celebration. It brought together people who had never met but have shared an experience for their entire lifetimes. 65 years ago, in 1946, thousands of British babies, all born within a single week, were selected to be part of a study, a lifelong study. They've been under the microscope ever since. Reporter Jeff Brumfield was there at the anniversary event.
It's a very civilized evening here at the British Library in central London. Silver-haired men and women mingle, making polite conversation over wine and hors d'oeuvres. You wouldn't know it to look at them, but they all have something special in common.
How old are you?
65 on Sunday.
65.
Well, we're both 65.
65 today. Well, I'm 65 too, by coincidence.
Actually, it's no coincidence. Almost everyone in the room turned 65 this week. They were all born in 1946, and they're all part of the world's longest continuous study of human health. It began with their birth, which coincided with the birth of another great British institution, the National Health Service.
This new health service will be organized on a national scale as a public responsibility.
And it was in the spirit of public health for the public good that this study was set up. The new study would follow children with the help of a doctor who didn't like sick people.
You find they became self-centered, whiny, moany, demanding, really not terribly pleasant.
That's Rachel Douglas, the widow of James Douglas, who founded the study.
So he decided what he'd like to do, rather than try and cure them when they got ill, was to keep them from getting ill in the first place.
And thus began the first British birth cohort, as these things came to be known. Over 5,000 babies were enlisted with their mother's consent. As the children grew up, most stayed in the study. Participant Nicole Barnston says it just seemed natural.
It's something that I've always accepted. It's been all my life. You know, every so often you have a questionnaire or you have a medical or something, and so I've never really thought about it in a way. It's just something that happens.
So what do you learn following people over a lifetime? Diana Koo is the third generation of researcher to lead the study for Britain's Medical Research Council. She sums it up this way.
The most significant finding for me is that we were the first national birth cohort study to actually have evidence that childhood really mattered for adult health.
In fact, it mattered a lot. One of the first big results was that study members born into poor households tested worse than equally bright children born into middle-class families. The finding reshaped British education and built the case for programs like Head Start in the United States. But it doesn't stop there. As the cohort ages, more and more correlations are appearing between early life and later health.
So one surprising one was how well the women had done on the cognitive test, even at age 8, had this quite robust association with when they reached menopause. It seemed to be either an early genetic or an early hormonal effect. And that's one of the puzzles that we're still actually trying to explain.
Now, as the cohort reaches retirement, things are starting to get really interesting. Study members like Duncan Bolton are undergoing a battery of medical tests.
Found out a number of things, like all my heart valves leak, or you know, my bone density is perhaps not as good as it should be, but hey, the guy said it doesn't matter, so I believe him.
The information being gathered could help scientists to better understand the aging process and governments to manage their aging populations. It's such a unique opportunity that American researchers like Emily Murray have traveled here just to study the cohort, even though the U.S. has plenty of cohort studies of its own.
When they're 65, you know, that's where it starts to get interesting, where if you started a cohort in 1960s, they're not old enough to have things interesting to us.
It may seem a little macabre to be studied as you grow old and die, but many feel like Sheila Lucas.
How do you feel about being followed to the grave here?
I think it's fine. I'm happy to be part of a piece of research, really. It's extremely important. Oh, saying it's a duty is rather heavy-handed, but it's something you said you would do, and therefore you do it.
In fact, 13% of the cohort has already passed away, and others have left the study. But plenty more remain. Again, Duncan Bolton.
It's nice to know there's quite a lot of people still left. Yeah, you might think you were the last survivor.
Reassuring, huh?
Yeah, very reassuring.
And together with researchers, they're having a great party. For NPR News, I'm Jeff Brumfield in London.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.